Great day, great day, great day. Listen, it's Apostle Johnita Collins, and I'm ready to rock and roll. I have been working on this offensive love in the ecclesia according to Jesus Christ himself. I know many of you may see his love as offensive. Why? Because it's always going to work out your soul salvation. That's the beginning and the end of it. That's a period, okay? That's why he loves you. He loved you so much that he shed his blood for you, and then he rose on the third day. Listen, he showed you by his very own life that, listen, you're an overcomer. You're a winner. You are here to annihilate everything that comes up against him. So listen, I'm here to help you to learn how to do that. We are on part five, I do believe, with this offensive love. Listen, and I know it's not what you think. I know it hasn't been what you thought. But the most important thing is that you're coming into a greater understanding and a greater revelation about as he is, so are you in this world. How could you even believe that or even conceive that if you don't understand how offensive Jesus Christ's love can be? How could you even begin to conceive that if you don't understand that we are not doing church as usual? We are here to build and continue his legacy, which is found in his ecclesia. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Because listen, I know that you're listening all over the world. And so I want to greet each and every one of you. Now, with that being said, I want you to connect with all of my social media platforms so that you can rewatch these teachings. You can't just jump in this and think that you'll understand or comprehend. Why? Because there are so many new concepts. There's so much information. This is layered. I'm designing this teaching to cause you to begin to break free. Okay, I'm going line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept. Listen, old is it's over for all of that smacking people across the face and calling that deliverance. That ain't deliverance. It's over for punching people in the belly. I think I just saw on Facebook some minister threw a weighted blanket at a woman, and she fell back. And then when she got up, they was carrying her and stuff, and she was all, you know, it wasn't because of the Holy Ghost. Come on here, y'all. It was not because of the Holy Ghost. It was because she probably had a concussion. Do you know how much weight a weighted blanket? Listen, I think the minimum weight is about 15 pounds, and that one looked a little heavier than 15 pounds. If you understand what I'm saying. And then to have force behind it thrown at your head. We got to stop playing games. Over here at Reign Embassy, we're dealing with Jesus on Jesus' terms. Over here at Reign Embassy, we're not doing church as usual. We're not playing with devils. We're not petting devils. We're not pretending that we're delivered. We're not pretending that we're healed. We're not pretending that we're set free. Either we are or we're not. Either the word works or it doesn't. But one thing that I know for sure, the word works. But here's my question to you. Are you working the word? Are you working the word? I'm already in it, so I'm not going to stop. We covered last week, I talked to you about what? 56. Do anybody remember the title? What is it? 56 what?
Rules to engage obligation.
All right. 56 rules to engage obligation. Obligation is an action. It's an engagement. It's not something that you just say with no follow-up. It's not something that you can just claim and it not show up in your life. Either you're obligated to the kingdom or you're not. Either you're obligated to the king or you're not. Listen, it's over for the fake Lakers. It's over. Because now we have shifted into God's timing. And God's timing is important. Why? Because it's all about getting what he wants to have done on earth as it is in heaven. Not what we think should be done. And that's the problem with the body of Christ. It's so full of itself that the King of all kings cannot speak to you. You can't. can't hear from the king. You can't hear from the king. The king can't talk to you. Why? Because you're preoccupied with you. Oh, come on here. Offensive love is governmental love. Obligation is the office we come into in the government we occupy on earth until Jesus comes. Oh, that's a new concept that I'm introducing to you because I want you to think like a king. I want you to think like a king, not like a mere mortal. When you took on salvation, do you not know that you took on a new identity? Is that not what I'm teaching you? When you took on salvation, do you not know that you received a new name? Even if it is what? Y'all chose some. Come on, let me hear some.
The elect.
Okay.
The light of the world.
The light of the world. Salt of the earth. The elect. What else did I hear?
Royal priesthood.
Royal priesthood. All right. Come on. Israel. Listen, we working with some identities that are not rooted in our family bloodline, but instead it's rooted in our eternal bloodline. Come on here. The blood that brought you back. Come on here. If you are saved by the blood, then listen, understand that you have been bought. That you belong to somebody. And that somebody is the King of all kings. And I want to know what subject of the king is an individual that does his own thing whenever he wants. Off with your head. The government, the system of rule by which heaven is managed. Listen, you must know the system and you must respect the system. There is a rulership. There is hierarchy. There are things that are acceptable and things that are not acceptable. And what you're playing with is your very own life. Jesus came with the sovereign government of eternity. Jesus carried the codes and the conduct of existing for eternal obligation. His existence was for eternal obligation. He obligated himself to his Father. How do we know that? Tell me, how do we know that? Because we saw he got up every morning and he consulted his Father. He didn't get up every morning and do what he felt like he wanted to do. He didn't get up every morning and remember, oh, well, last night, you know, this happened. I'm going to just go ahead and pick up where I left off. No, he did not do life like that. So my question to you is, why are you doing life like that if you profess to be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Yeah, I'm on fire. I'm hot because I'm tired. What am I tired of? I'm tired of the fake and the phony church. Trying to put itself above Jesus the Christ. And as apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my job to confront darkness. It is my job to annihilate the kingdom of darkness. It is my job to point out where darkness is existing. And it is my job to bring the light. Are you hearing me today? God bless each and every one of you that has joined me. Because my whole job, when you come here to Reign Embassy, is to deliver you and set you free. It's to turn you from darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, that is the only point. We preach the gospel for you to change. And anybody that knows me know I don't preach a false gospel. I am that I am. I am what I say. And I do come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I have records to prove it. I am his overcomer. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. How about you? Or are you still complaining? Or are you still wandering in darkness? Are you still vacillating between truth and lies? What are you doing? Are you analyzing where you are? Listen, we went through last week, acceptance, accountable, analysis, balance, banking, business. Listen, choice. Compliance, comparison, commitment. Listen, I took you through a whole 15 words, broke it down how it's connected to obligation, to your obligation in the kingdom. What did you do with it? What fruit are you producing from it? Because I promise you, I'm not here to preach the gospel to tickle your fancy. For you to say, ooh, ah, some leaders, that's what they need. They're so broken inside that they need you to just, ooh, ah, she just so smart. Oh, he just so smart. Oh, did you hear what he said? Oh, and they can't even live it. I break this down for you to be able to live it. That's why I took the time to break down the words. That's why I took the time to not just give you the word obligation and leave you there. We haven't even touched on half. Hopefully by the end of today, we will reach half. I don't think so, because listen, what I'm bringing you today is so full, it's fat. I don't know if we're going to get through all the words. Why? Because I'm doing this for you to grow. I'm doing this for you to learn. And sometimes you got to slow down, and it takes the time that it takes. You understand what I'm saying? We all in agreement? Amen.
Amen.
See, I'm saying amen for everybody. With that being said, my loves, listen. Your identity, one of the things that I said to you is that your identity was written in eternity to govern your destiny. But this is the next thought process that I want you to grab a hold of. Who you are unlocks where you're going. Listen to me. If you don't grab a hold that you are a chosen generation, if you don't grab a hold that you are a royal priesthood, if you don't grab a hold that you're obligated to be a holy nation, that you're obligated to be the body of Christ, that you're obligated to be the branches of the true vine, that you're obligated to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you're obligated to be a remnant for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's nothing I really can do for you. Because if you are not doing the work and coming into agreement with your identity, if you are not coming into agreement to becoming a saint, if you are not coming into agreement to live in life as a child of God, then what are you agreeing with? See, Jesus already talked about that. As I said earlier, Jesus didn't elevate us merely with beautiful titles. He entrusted us with his very authority to carry on his commission on earth. Did y'all forget? You're a part of Jesus's commission. So how can you be an individual? I'm going to just stay here for a minute. How can you be so individualized when you are a part of a whole eternal system? Or so you claim to be. In other words, the designations we bear aren't ornaments. They are offices of power because he left all power in our hands. Listen, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you today that obligation is an office. I'm saying to you today that anything that I dispense, that listen, if you're in the kingdom, then you're walking in authority in government, which entails an office. Listen to me. So these words are not just words. These are not things that we're just trying to be. These are things that we are called to occupy until he comes. You're called to be responsible. You are called to occupy responsibility. You are called to occupy balance. You are called to occupy acceptance. You are called to occupy accountability. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Can you comprehend what I'm saying to you today? Because what I'm dispensing today is called to split your false, phony, fake mind. I'm splitting it wide open. I'm dispensing all darkness. Darkness must go. It has no place. We make no room for darkness. And if you think like this, then you must comply to the kingdom. You must. Why do I say you must? It's impossible to think like this and not be. You can't be this without being this. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can't be this without being this. This is not something that you can fake, is what I'm saying. This is not something that you can just talk about. Listen, your life is going to tell us if you're accountable to the King. Your life is going to tell us if you constantly are analyzing yourself so that you maintain your kingship and not be a failure. I'm just saying. This thing is already set up for us to win. We are called to win in the kingdom. Victory is already ours. So when you're living a life below victory, below being victorious, below being a thinker, you must understand something else is governing your soul. With that being said, listen, I'm ready to give you your next words, because these 56 rules to engage obligation part two is going to blow your mind. It's going to set your soul free. That's the whole point of me connecting with you today, is for your soul to be set free. Why? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And listen, indeed is indeed. Indeed is indeed. Indeed is a final destination. Indeed is not a vacillation. Indeed is a final destination. There is no vacillating between whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where do you go in that? You just go from freedom to more freedom. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't go from freedom to bound, freedom to bound, freedom to bound. You go from freedom to more freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's a destination. That means that you live in freedom. That's a lifestyle. That's a life. I give you life and life more abundantly. It's not a vacillation. It is not a back and forth. It is not I'm free and I'm bound. I'm bound and I'm free. I'm anxious, but I'm free. I'm free, but I'm anxious. But I'm anxious, but I'm free. Do y'all hear the confusion? What are you doing in the spirit? What message are you sending to the spirits of darkness and to the spirits of the kingdom of heaven? What are you doing? Listen, we left off with conceptual. Obligated to relating to eternity and living life based on eternity's spiritual mentality, authority, and hierarchy. It's important for you. It's important for you to understand that you have to conceptualize and accept that this is who you are. That you're obligated to what? Be as he is. You're obligated to do on earth as it is in heaven. That's your obligation. Not to do on earth as it is on earth. Not to do on earth as it is at work. Not to do on earth as it is in the theaters. Not to do on earth as it is in... Listen, are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You can take in a lot of information, but you still have to make a decision every day who you're living for. Who you're living for. Why do I say that? Because we're all, listen, we're on this earth. He says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. I am of the, I'm completely persuaded that you have not spent enough time to comprehend what does that look like. How do I live life in this world, but not of this world? I'm fully persuaded that you do not fight your flesh to live that. I'm fully persuaded that you don't fight the iniquity that you were shaped in, the sin that you were formed in.
Shaped in iniquity?
Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Born in. Still formed in. No matter how you shape this thing, it's still a shaping, a forming, a conception. But I'm challenging you to have a different conception. Why? Because listen, when the blood came for you, in other words, when salvation came for you, you were able to be reborn again. That means there's a new conception. That means there's a new concept for you to engage. New concept for you to engage. What is that concept? As he is, so am I in this world. What is that concept? I'm a bondservant to the king. What is that concept? Are you hearing me? Because whatever concept you buy into is the concept you're going to produce from. Mm-hmm. So if you believe you're just a mere mortal, then you will be just that. You will always have moral issues. But if you believe that you are the offspring of the King of all kings, if you believe that you are an under-sovereign, if you believe that you are a legate, listen, everything changes. Does it not? Now you're becoming a ruler over your very own body, over your very own mind, over your flesh. Over the things that, listen, you were born into, the things that you never chose for yourself. Now you get to make a different choice. But here's the question. Are you choosing? Are you choosing? Or are you just existing and allowing yourself to be tossed? Listen, scripture talks about when a certain time comes in your life where you're no longer tossed to and fro. Is that not scripture? There's a certain time in your life. There's a certain maturity level. That whole concept is dealing with maturation in the kingdom. There was a time where I had to give you milk because you didn't have any teeth. Listen, there was a time I had to give you milk because, listen, that's all you could do was suck. You had to get it in you. But there's a time where I should be able to come and cash in what I put in you. I should be able to cash in on what I put in you. That's God's idea. Mm-hmm. Contract number 15. I will not be before you long today. I'm promising you that. And I'm not saying that religiously. I'm telling you that this thing is so hot, so heavy, and so full that I don't want to cause y'all to just blow up. Mm-hmm. Right? I need y'all to be able to take this thing in. Contract. Obligated to the written scripture or prayer agreement that is enforceable by law. I think I gave you that last week. I'm sorry. So let's go to 16. Contracted. Yeah, let's go to 16. Contracted. Obligated to enforce the written scripture and prayer agreements that are the legal, eternal will of God. For instance, you are obligated to forgive what? Others as you want to be forgiven. Scripture says, forgive us as we forgive those that trespass against us. That is a request. That's a whole prayer. Now, how many of you are still stuck and can't forgive? How many of you are still wounded in your soul because somebody trespassed against you when you trespass against your very God? Every day, several times in the day, you have the nerve to hold somebody to their trespasses and you want to be free from them? It's not going to happen. It doesn't work like that. You're obligated to understand and enforce the written scripture and the prayer agreements that are legal. You can't be the one operating illegally and want God to walk to operate legally for you. Not when he said forgive, not when he said that the requirement is for you to forgive others. You are forgiven to the measure in which you forgive others. You are forgiven to the measure in which you forgive others. So if you can't walk in forgiveness, I'm just dealing with contracts. The whole scripture, everything in the Bible is a contract, it's a covenant. Which is why it is illegal to try and break the covenant up and say, oh, this is over and that's not relevant. No, it's all relevant. Because there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. And you have to make it into eternity. And in order to make it into eternity, you won't make it off of one thought. You have to take the full counsel and the full wisdom of the full gospel. Old Testament, New Testament, however you want to break it down. The whole thing. Because everything leads into the other thing. Everything is intertwined and interconnected. All right, here's another one. Contracted, right? I want you to remember that you're obligated to enforce the written scripture and the prayer agreements that are the legal eternal will of God. Here's a legal eternal will of God that you're obligated, that you're contracted to fulfill. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know how we like to say, do unto others as we would have done unto us. Listen and listen to me well. Are you the one with the one-way contract? Are you the one with the one-way contract and you think God's going to honor you? You're not honorable. He's not honoring you. You can't keep or uphold the contract. Contracts are two ways. Period. Contracts are two ways. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Are you the accuser of the brethren, always saying that the brethren has done something to you when you are actually the disruptor in the system? When you are actually the antagonist? No, this is how we have to think. We can no longer think like children and think that God is just jumping around and he's happy when he gave you a whole computer called a mind. It's called to calculate and compute. It's called to strategize. It's called to think. It's called to research. It's called to dig out a matter. It's called to consult the king. It's called to think of like Jesus. It's called to listen, have the mind of Christ. It's called to get in tune with the Holy Ghost. And you sitting up here and the only thing you can come up with is some fleshly results? What use are you for God? Because you can't handle any of his matters concerning the matters concerning you. That's just contract. I hope you understand where I'm going with this. What am I saying? The scripture is a covenant. Everything in it is a covenant. Everything in it is telling you what you will receive when you keep his commandments, when you keep his word, when you keep his covenant. Everything in it is telling you if you're going to win or lose the battle. Everything. Now, is it God's fault that you choose not to believe? Is it God's fault that you choose not to trust? Is it God's fault that you choose not to mature? Is it God's fault that you choose not to grow? Not when he made you the most intelligent being walking the face of the earth today. Okay. 17, corporate. You are obligated to living in the state of relating to the ecclesia as an eternal nation that represents eternity in the present and all of its standards and mandates. Listen, you don't do what you want to do. You run nothing. In the moment that you can bow down and realize you run nothing, and anything that you're called to put your hands to, it better be in the order of Jesus the Christ. It better be reflective of his will and his way. Decide. 18. When you think of decide, I want you to think about the fact that you are obligated. Hear me and hear me well, because this is what? 56 rules to engage obligation. You're obligated to cut off your sinful mind and choose to acquire the mind of Christ. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Jesus is not coming to do it. Oh, Jesus, take this from me. He's like, what? Work out your soul salvation. So if you are one that don't like to address yourself, you're not going to analyze nor be accountable. Therefore, you never are going to make any decisions. Because decisions are connected to your obligations to the kingdom. And here, your decisions are always what? Obligated to cutting off darkness. Anything that's not like your king, you cut it off. Don't nobody got to tell you. Don't do that. Don't go there. That's not healthy for you. Nobody got to tell you that. You're supposed to have the Holy Ghost. Because listen, when Jesus ascended, he then what? Sent the Holy Ghost. So where you at in Jesus Christ? If you ain't got the Holy Ghost and you always need a man, a mere flesh that could be wrong to lead and guide you, it's something wrong. If your soul dependence is on another man, it's something wrong with you. You're not in relationship with the King nor the Holy Ghost, which is a representation of his spirit, and you certainly ain't in relationship with the Father. You're gone. Mm-hmm. Because working out your soul salvation brings you closer into that relationship. Working out your soul salvation brings you closer to the King. It brings you closer to the Holy Ghost. It puts you before the Father. It makes you lay prostrate before the Father. So I know that you are no place near there, because you can't even lay down. You're always standing. And every time you lay down, you're raising yourself up. So listen to me and listen to me well. I'm not giving you this information for my good. I'm giving it to you for your good. I'm giving it because, listen, it is an affront to Jesus Christ that we don't know how to work out our soul salvation. It is an affront to Jesus Christ that we don't know how to make healthy decisions in his kingdom under his blood. What are you talking about? Do not call yourself a Christian and you cannot make a healthy decision about what's best for the King concerning you. Documents. 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 Obligated to become what is written of you in eternity on earth. Documents, documents, documents. Do you not realize you're a walking document? Okay. All right, there's a whole science that studies and says when you blink your eye like this, that means you're afraid. When your side of your mouth curl up, that means that you really wanted to say something you didn't say. You're a living document. You are walking around as if you can't be read. You're walking around as if your life is not showing up what you are, who you are, and what you belong to.
So true.
Documents. 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 You are a walking document. And either you are saying Jesus Christ is real or Satan is real. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Obligated to become what is written of you in eternity on earth. You are to become the proof, the evidence, the instruction, and the teaching that God is God and Jesus is King. That's what you are obligated to do. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what the documents concerning you should say. I am obligated to the King of all kings. I am obligated to the big G God. I am obligated. My life is a walking document that I'm obligated. I am proof. I am evidence that I've been instructed by Jesus the Christ. I am proof. I am evidence. evidence that I am learned of Jesus the Christ. I am proof. I am evidence that the teachings of the word reside in me. I am the documentation that Jesus Christ is still alive in eternity, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. How about you? Come on here. Duty. 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 Obligated to the King, his kingdom, and his citizenry. Being blood brought gives us an obligatory service. Obligated to the King, his kingdom, and his citizenry, his people, in his kingdom. You know I'm big on that. I am not obligated, and I do not obligate myself to things that are not obligated to Jesus the Christ. I am big on that. I do not feel like it is my job to go out and preach to everyone. It is my job to preach to those God has assigned me to preach to. I am not obligated to put myself everywhere. I'm obligated to do the will of the Father. If you understand that, then you understand how deeply that's rooted in duty. You won't find me in somebody else's lane. Let them have their lane. I'm in mine. And I always admonish those with me, stay in your lane, because it's the safest place for you. Now, if you're okay with dying, and if you're okay with the death culture, do it your way. But over here, we're dutiful to the King, and the King alone. We don't have to worry about if the King is confused about what camp we're in. Why? Because what? We've been bought by the blood. He purchased us. And if you find that to be valuable, then you too would never be one vacillating. You too would never have a problem with your duty. You too would not always be looking for a different assignment that's more in alignment with how you feel. Well, that's what happens. We're always looking for an assignment based off of how we feel, not based on our obligatory service to our King who saved us. Now, why do I say that? Because the blood provided something. When he bought us, he said what? We are responsible for change. Okay? That obligatory service makes us responsible to change. What are we changing? Our minds, our ways, our thoughts, our appetites, our desires. What are we changing? Why do we know that's the requirement? Why do we know we're obligated to that? Why do we know that that's a duty? Why do we know that that's an office to occupy? Because he gave a whole job description. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he gave qualifying factors. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he did not say, therefore, if any man remains and retains his own mind. He said, if any man, therefore, be in Christ, or therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Where is your new creaturehood? Why are you still the same? Why are you 10, 15 years in this thing called Christendom and you have not changed? Your mind hasn't changed. Your attitude hasn't changed. Your doctrine hasn't changed. Oh, I just threw one in there. Your doctrine never changed. You never took on the truth of Jesus Christ. Your doctrine never changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. That's definitive. It does not say he's becoming. He is. I am that I am. He is. I am that I am. He is. I am that I am a new creature. What are you waiting on? This is the lies that I always have to dispel because there's something wrong with your thinking. God says that you are, and you say, I may be coming. I'm still thinking about it. 20 years have passed and you have not changed. You're still thinking. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. If God the Father, Jesus the Son, are working together on your behalf, and their statement about you is, you are a new creature, and old things have passed away. Not are going to. No, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Present here, right now, I'm new. Present here, right now, I'm new. Behold, behold, grab a hold of this. This is what I'm declaring over you. This is what I'm saying you are. And you decide to be old. You have decided to be old. You have committed to a duty to produce from old. You, not God. The contract is already here. I told you earlier. Agree with the contract. This is the contract. Duty. Obligated to the king, his kingdom, and his citizenry. Being blood brought gives us an obligatory service, that which ought to be done. Listen, we have a responsibility to change. We're obligated to change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have or are, let's say are, passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 21. Effect. Obligated to the state of being a new creature. I just gave you the whole rundown that you're obligated by duty. This is a dutiful position. Now, effect. Obligated to the state of being a new creature as a result and consequence of taking new actions that align with new choices. Cause new mind and affect life and life more abundantly. What's the cause? A new mind? What is that new mind doing? It's developing a new creature. What's the effect of that? The effect is a new life. And what's in that new life? Life more abundantly. Did y'all hear me? So how can you be the less? How can you be below? You are of no effect. So don't be mad when God says, I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but I'm going to put it right here. Get from before me, I never knew you. Because you were of no effect. You were of no effect for his kingdom. You may have been effect for this world. You may have been an effect for yourself, but you did not do the things that it took to obligate yourself to being in the state of a new creature. Because when you live in that state, there are results and consequences. Those results and consequences align with new actions. Those new actions create new choices. That's what's going up in your what? Documentation. I'm a king. Your new documentation says I'm a king. Your old documentation says I was a mere mortal. You'll catch it tomorrow, perhaps. 22. Employee. 22. Employee. 22. Employee. Obligated to devote and make use of your life to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Employee. An employee of the king obligates themselves to be devoted and make use of their lives to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Not just to go to church. Not just to sing on the choir. Not just to be a praise dancer. Are you hearing me? See, these are all natural things. Y'all think that it's not, but it is. Because God needs things to get done. It has nothing to do with waving a flag or being able to sing. It has everything to do with advancing the kingdom of God, which is connected to the souls that are broken and hurt, which is connected to the souls that need to be healed and delivered, which is connected to the communities and the different outlets that you are connected to every day. How are you working for Jesus Christ? What does your employment look like? And I'm not just talking about spreading some sunshine either. I'm telling you that numbers have to be put up on the wall, up on your record. Documentation of who you are, what you do for King Jesus. Is important. It says a lot. It's what he's going to read when he's before you. He's going to let you know. He's going to run it down. Because he don't care if you decided to have a conference for 20 people that he never asked you to have a conference for 20 people for. He does not care. It's better to be in the will of God, and it's better to do what he wants to have done than to supply your flesh with things, as they like to say, dead works. Let's just say it like that. Let's just keep it real. Those are called dead works because they're works unto yourself. Mm-hmm. Employee, obligated to devote and make use of your life to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When you go to work, you take the life that God gave you to fulfill their will and leave God's kingdom depleted. Mm-hmm. Boom. I told you, some of these things are going to be too heavy. I cannot overload you, because if you really think about this, and my job is to enforce your mind to begin to think above and not beneath, you got to reevaluate that. Because some of us are working places and doing things we should not be. We're at places we shouldn't be. We're at places where we should have advanced. Some of us should be entrepreneurs by now. Some of us should have different streams of income. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If it was just about, I to work this job, but God put other things in you to create income. So now if you have obligated yourself to the point where you are no longer building his kingdom and doing his work because you're obligated to their kingdom, listen, he is going to take issue with that, I promise you. This thing is real. I'm just trying to give y'all the information because y'all got to learn how to find a balance and how to be in relationship with the king so that you don't find yourself outside of him thinking that you're inside of his will. When you go to work, you take the life, because Jesus, the Christ, is the one that's what? He hasn't called you home yet. He's giving you life. Where's your obligation to that? Where's your obligation to that? All right. When you go to work, you take the life that God gave you to fulfill their will and leave God's kingdom depleted. Jesus said this himself. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I know for me, losing my mother at a very young age, I had a lot of official, unofficial shepherds. Those women that took me under their wing, those women that watched out for me when I didn't have anybody watching out for me in school, where they stepped in as surrogate mothers, where they called me to leadership, where they encouraged me when I was like, ugh, look, let me just not do any of this. No, you're going to do all of this. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want to make it so religious with our religious minds that you got to put on a collar and you got to preach at a church. And you, no. You got to be what God called you to be when he needs you to be all the time. And we don't live like that. So this is why he has to resort to this very statement. He was moved to compassion because there were no shepherds. Then said he unto his disciples, listen, he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Is that you? You can't labor for nobody else because it's all about you. You can't be a true minister of the gospel because it's all about you. All right, I'm going to get through this. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, I want you to hear real close, listen. His 12 disciples, he gave them power. Listen, he gave them power. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Listen to me and listen to me well. If you go read this scripture, you yourself will find Judas was among those 12 disciples. Judas was among those 12 disciples. Judas was in that number, but he did not deal with himself, even though Jesus himself empowered him to do so. Ah, I could run around here myself. If you don't understand what I just said, I'm telling you the scripture is showing us how much Jesus is in covenant with us. Listen, he even gave the one that he knew would betray him an opportunity to not betray him. Ah! I'm gone. Let me tell you why I'm gone. This was a direct endowment. Jesus gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Judas also received the same power, but he chose not to heal and deliver himself. What's wrong with you? I'm done with the gospel. Let me tell you why. Y'all not preaching the gospel and y'all don't believe the gospel because right here proves that you can deal with yourself. You choose not to. You don't need any medication. You just need Jesus. You don't need more sleep. You don't need more education. You just need the Holy Ghost that leads you into all truth. But you don't love truth. Listen, I can sit there. I have preached all that I need to preach. Because this is the truth of the matter. Evident in scripture. That as much as God gives you, you don't use it. As much power as God has given you, you choose not to use it. These are choices. You choose not to be obligated. You choose not to be dutiful. You choose not to be in the word. You choose not to believe. You choose not to. What are you talking about? And listen, your choices already told us what the consequence is. That consequence is Judas hung himself. He killed himself. What is wrong with you killing yourself every day? What is wrong with you not loving yourself enough to give yourself an opportunity? What is the purpose of having breath in your lungs to live a defeated life? What is the purpose? Only a devil wants you to live like that. Only a devil wants to keep you bound like that. So are you a devil? Because you're choosing to do it to yourself. Whew. Listen and hear me well. Judas was given power by Jesus Christ. Listen to me. That breaks my heart. Because I love God and I love his people. That breaks my heart. Because many of you are Judases. Many of you are right there with the king and without a shadow of a doubt are the betrayer. You yourself, and you're pretending that you're not. And you have given God no choice but to render the same verdict that was rendered to Judas. You will go crazy. You will hang yourself. You will not have life. There will be no abundance for you because of your choices, because what you've obligated yourself to, because your obligatory service was not unto God, it was unto yourself. You obligated yourself to yourself, and God is going to give you yourself. What is yourself? Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You are full of darkness, and you will remain dark. Why? He has given you all the power to allow light in. He has given you all the power to allow your mind to be changed. He has given you all the power to allow that new creature to live, and you choose not. Hear me and hear me well. I cannot preach a different gospel. I will not preach a false gospel. You are the walking dead because you have not obligated yourself to the king and the king alone. Essential. That was a lot. This will be slightly more. I got two more I'm going to give you. Essential. Obligated to bear the very essence of Jesus. Do you not know that you are an essential in the kingdom? Do you not know how important you are to the king? He chose you before the foundations of this earth. He chose you to bear his essence. He chose you to be as he is on this earth. And what do you do with that choosing? Do you honor it by choosing him back? Do you honor it by fighting for your mind? Do you honor it by fighting for your position in the kingdom? Do you honor it by staying obligated? Obligated to bear the very essence of Jesus. It is absolutely necessary to bear good fruit. It's a necessity. Because that good fruit is the documentation of your belief. It's the documentation of your king residing in you and working through you. I could cry right now. Y'all have no idea how much this message has moved me. Y'all have no idea how much this message has let me know I am certainly on the right path. I'm not looking to preach to everybody, but I am looking to preach to those who want to grow in Jesus Christ and show by their very life, by their very documentation, that God is alive. And every man is a liar. It is extremely important because only what you do for Christ will last. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? See, I ain't preaching no false gospel. Everything that I preach and teach, I'm going to show you in scripture. Well, you can find it in scripture if you take the time to have an ear to hear. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? That's all the workers of iniquity right now, pretending to be Christians and pretending to be for Christ, and they are not doing work unto Jesus Christ, and they're not in his will. They're doing work unto themselves, and they will receive their reward. I don't care. You may not ever see them receiving their reward, but they will. Because Jesus is just. And guess what? He's so just that he already wrote this thing out. He already gave you an opportunity to make a choice about how you want to live and where you want to go. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Did y'all hear that? Yeah, they drove out demons. Yeah, they performed miracles. Did y'all not hear what I said earlier? He endowed Judas. One day you guys will catch it. He is not a respecter of person. He does not care about men. This thing here, you can come get it if you want it. He doesn't care if you were born a Jew. He doesn't care if you were born a Muslim. He doesn't care what you were born in. This thing right here is available. Come get it. He like, I'm the God of all gods. Come get it. What you want? How much of me do you want? You want me to live in you? You want life? Come get it. He doesn't care. He don't care if you were born rich. He doesn't care if you were born poor. He doesn't care. Because he's the king of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. Every God bows down to him. What's wrong with you that you don't know you need to bow down? Yes. Listen. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly. Then I will tell them plainly. I'm here to tell you plainly. I'm going to tell you plainly. I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you worker of lawlessness. You don't respect the law of the kingdom, nor the king. You don't respect the law of the kingdom, nor the king. You don't respect the law of the kingdom, nor the king. That's why you will not make it in. That's why you are a false prophet. You are a false pastor. You are a false evangelist. You are a false Christian. Because you don't respect the law of the king. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. Listen, he went further. See, we like to pull out these little pieces, but you don't want to give the full measure of the word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. And acts on them, and acts on them, dutiful to them, observe them, keep them, obligate themselves to them, is like a wise man. You unwise man. You unwise man. You unwise man who doesn't build their house on the rock. You don't build your house on the rock. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You're judged. You're judged. You're righteously judged by Jesus the Christ in his word. His word is his standard, not you, not your thoughts. Not your emotions, not your desires, not your will. He's obligated to fulfill his word. He's obligated to uphold his word. And so are you. And the problem is you want to uphold a different word and you don't want to uphold his word. And you want him to honor something that he already said he will never honor. He will only honor that what he established. And I did pop. Listen, I got to give y'all a reprieve because this is heavy. 24. I think this might knock you out a little bit, but it's definitely going to give you something major to think about. Financial. And I know when I say this in the way that I'm going to go, y'all are going to be totally like, what? Obligation, financial, obligated to being keepers of your soul and governors of your spirit that maintains a balanced book that makes you the victorious one because Jesus paid the debt for your soul to be pardoned. And he already defeated death and hell that your soul may be set free. I'm looking at them and I'm looking at you. Because I know when you think about financial, everybody want to talk about kingdom finances. But do you not know in the kingdom that you are the one that God is concerned about, that he considers you as wealth? Do you not know that you are his legacy? Do you not know that he, oh God, that you are his inheritance? You are his inheritance. That's what the scripture says. That the Father is giving Jesus an inheritance because he came to this earth and he sacrificed his life for you. So you are his inheritance. I am his inheritance. I am his inheritance. And I dare not shame him because I am his inheritance. Hear me and hear me well. That's why you're failing. That's why you are not a Christian, because you are not his inheritance. That's why you're not making it into heaven, because you are not his inheritance. I am his inheritance because I gave everything up. I found my life in Jesus, and I stay on the narrow path. What are you talking about today? What are your documents speaking about you? Do you have the appropriate documents to say, here's my passport, let me in. Here's everything that I did. Here's everything that I gave up. Here's everything that I fought for you. Here's everything that I did that you asked me to do. Listen. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Do you ask the Holy Ghost to help you to understand the scriptures? You don't have to be ignorant. Seek and ye shall find. Ask what? You shall receive it. It shall be given to you. His desire is not for you to stay on the outside of him. But here's the question. Do you want him more than you want you? Because when you want him more than you want you, he has no choice but to show up. He has no choice but to show up because that's his word and he's a just God. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What are we preaching? What are we preaching? Repentance and remission of sin is available here at Reign Embassy. I teach this way so that you can identify the sin in your very own soul, the sin in your very own life that you are in partnership, that you have decided is not sin, but according to Jesus the Christ, it is. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. This was witnessed. I'm not preaching a new gospel. I'm continuing the gospel. This was witnessed and recorded. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He always lets you know the consequences. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's for all of you that come into Christ, and the next thing you a leader in Christ. You didn't wait. That's why you started doing everything but Jesus, because you couldn't wait. You just had to be put up. You just had to be known. You just had to be seen. You just had to have your flesh rule, your soul. You just had to be important. And you didn't think it was important enough to wait on the Lord, to strip you of yourself and put his glory on you so that you could be a king, so that you could rule and reign, so that you could not only govern yourself but begin to govern everything around you, because that's what this is about. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He blessed them. He blessed them. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. By the way, this is all encompassing of the blood. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This happened. Jesus is real. But the question is he real to you and real inside? And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. See, this right here, I just need you to understand. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be your strength. If Jesus did all of this for you, why are you downtrodden? How you don't have the joy of the Lord because you simply have breath in your lungs and you get up today and be in his perfect will and work with the King of all kings? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with your mind? It's something that's up. What's wrong with your heart? What's wrong with yourself? There is something out of alignment because you don't have the joy of the Lord. And the mere fact that you have breath in your lungs and you can talk to your king and you can worship him because he simply gave you life again. And that's not enough for you. You murmurer and complainer. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great... Oh, this is for those who have a hard time worshiping him. There's something off. There's something out of alignment. You don't have an obligation to the king. You can't even worship him. So we know you're not in him. And were continuously in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuously in the temple, praising and blessing God. Are you in the temple today and you could not praise and bless God? What's wrong? You better look at your obligations and see what you're obligating your very soul to. You better check out what you're obligating your very mind to. You better check out what you're obligating your very spirit to and make sure that he is not going to say to you, depart from me, because you obligated yourself to a lowercase king. God bless you. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I will see you next Sunday. I want you to re-watch this over and over again. It's certainly going to bring you to new